Good morning, church. Just another warm welcome to each one this morning. Blessing to be gathered together in the house of the Lord again this morning. Excited about what God has for us, what He desires to share with us this morning. And just what is planned and perhaps what is in His plans that aren't in ours. We'll see. Just for a short meditation devotional this morning, I'd like us to turn to Exodus chapter 13. I want to look just briefly at the very familiar, I was going to say story, but Seth said last night maybe we should call it an account when it's something that truly happened, right? It's not just a story, and yet it is a story. It is God's, part of God's story, part of history. Look here at the crossing of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel here in that account. I'm going to read Exodus 13, 17 to 22. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up and harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and he shall carry you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So giving us a little bit of a background there of them leaving Egypt and heading out, and God leading them very specifically the way that He wanted to take them. And very specific purpose there that God had in many ways, I believe. It mentions so that they wouldn't be discouraged when they faced the Philistines. But I believe there was much more there that God wanted to work through them. Obviously, he wanted to take them to the mountain to present, to show them His glory, Himself, and to present His way of life to them. But I believe He also had a very specific purpose in taking them the way He did to the Red Sea and through the Red Sea, and showing them His mighty hand that He was able to take them through this, So I'm not going to read just for sake of time, but as we continue on here in chapter 14, we know that, you know, all of a sudden Pharaoh realized what happened, and he's like, what are we doing? Why do we let these people go? Let's go after them. Let's bring them back. They're trapped. They're right up against, they're between the mountains and the Red Sea. We've got them. I mean, there's one way out from where they're at, and that's back towards us, and we can block that off, and we have them. They're ours again. And so we see that he made ready his chariots. He went after them. And then want to cut back in chapter 14, verse 12. Is not this the word? And this is now when the children of Israel realized what was happening, they came to Moses and said, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses, this is the verse, this is our key verse this morning. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Verse 14, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. We see here when the children of Israel came to Moses and said, what are you doing? You brought us out here to die because there weren't enough graves in Egypt. It'd have been better off, we'd have been better off serving the Egyptians. We'd have been better off staying slaves. How many times in our finiteness do we maybe complain or about the circumstances we're going through because we cannot see the big picture that God has. We cannot see the plan, the big plan that he has. And I love that verse there in 13, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. And then the word in the end of verse 15, it says, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. God's heart was for them to go forward, not to look back, not to focus on the enemy, not to focus on what they came out of, but to go forward. He said, tell the children of Israel to go forward, to keep their eyes on me, to see the salvation that I have for them, to keep their focus on me and to move forward. You know, they were looking back and seeing the trouble they thought they were in, seeing that, well, they thought it would be better to have stayed back. But God is telling them, look forward, move forward, not just look forward. Move forward, trust me, and move forward against the impossible. I will go before you. I will protect you from the enemy. And we see that in that pillar of cloud, that pillar of fire. God's protection came between them and the Egyptians all that night. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we know how God parted the waters. And the children of Israel walked through on dry ground. Coming back in verse 23 again. And the Egyptians pursued, went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily. And I want us to notice there how it specifically says that God did this to the enemy. God confounded the enemy. Do we believe that this morning? Do we believe that God still works in that way in our lives? As we cry out to him, God confounds the enemy. He took off their chariot wheels that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. That was the Egyptians saying that. That was the enemy saying, let's get out of here. Let's turn around. Let's go back. Let's flee from the face of God's people. This is for us today, church. This is for us to walk in where the enemy will flee from God's people because he will see that God is fighting for us. God is working on our behalf. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Can you imagine being a part of that? Being a part of that great deliverance on that night when the Lord made that way through the Red Sea and destroyed the enemy behind them. But do we realize, church, that for every one of us that are born again sitting here this morning, we have been a part of that. We have been a part of a miracle even beyond this. You know, we can look back and say, man, I wish I could have been a part of some of those miracles. But do we realize, do we recognize the miracle that we are a part of? God has done this and even more for his children, for us, for you, for me. He's done it for each one of us. I'd like to read yet the Moses' song here, and I'd like us to. I know there's been a good bit of, well, there's been some messages. There's one I've heard, and I'm not criticizing it, but it It's called Right Song, Wrong Side. And I'm, like I said, I'm not criticizing that, but, you know, I guess I was thinking about this and I was like, was it the wrong side? You know, and I believe there is something to praising God ahead of the miracle, before the miracle. But I also see that when the children of Israel were in trouble, they cried out. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. When we don't know which way to turn, He wants us to cry out to Him, to look to Him. Now, you know, I think they were crying kind of against Moses, but I believe as Moses instructed them, they then turned their focus on God. But they cried out to Him, and then this is what just poured out of their hearts as they realized what God did for them. And I want us to take this morning and allow it to be a part of our worship, of our praise to God, that as we recognize from day to day, it's a miracle every day what God does for us. Yes, being born again is the beginning of it and is an amazing miracle. But what God delivers us from every day, as He confounds the enemy, as He fights for us, this needs to be the heart of worship that comes out of us. Let's all stand while I read this. Actually, if each one of you could open your Bibles, I think we're going to read this together. Just give you a moment there to find it. It's Exodus chapter 15, if you're not there already. We'll be reading through verse 18, starting in Exodus 15, verse 1 through 18. Okay. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank unto the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for them to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Let's just lift our hands and just praise the Lord this morning for His faithfulness, for His goodness, and that He shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before You this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. He is worthy. And that is why, it's why we're here this morning. It's why we're focusing this morning on what we are this morning of the future vision of the church, the vision of the youth, and the commissioning here for Sammy and Sari and taking responsibility, should I say. For the youth, I am excited about that. It's also, in one sense, a little bit difficult. I am very excited about it. I do want to bring that out. I'm very excited, very feel God has answered and just incredibly answered prayer in this. And so I want to move into that time. I want to share a little bit to the youth and just share a few things in that way, and then I'll have them come up and share a bit, and then we'll have the commissioning prayer after that. Yes, first of all, I just wanted to, from my heart, bless each one of you youth, each one of you young people, in your desire for God, in your passion for pursuing Him. It's been an incredible, incredible blessing to walk with you all. It's also been an incredible blessing to work through the new vision and mission statement with you all. That was just that Tuesday evening when we worked through that, just on the way home, I think I cried most of the way home. I was just thanking God for each one of you, your passion for Him, and recognizing the rarity that it is today in the generation that we live in and in the time that we live in, to have young people with that kind of a heart and that kind of a passion, that kind of a desire to encourage one another, to build each other up, to press in and to have an impact on eternity, to have an impact for the kingdom of God. And I just want to bless each one of you for that. And I also want to bless each of you parents. It's been an incredible blessing walking with you all, with your youth, and just want to bless you and thank you for what you all have invested. It's been what you have invested in your children that have made them what they are. Obviously, we all give the credit to God. I know that, but I know you all have invested much, much time, much energy, much prayer, much passion, much devotion to your children. And I just want to thank you for that, and also your support for Bettina and I these last years that we have walked with the youth. Just want to bless each one of you for that. It truly has been a blessing to walk with you all in that. I also wanted to mention just to the youth and the parents with the new vision that Sammy will actually be sharing that here today. But it's my prayer is that it would change our lives, that it would not just be a great statement, it would not just be something good that we came up with, but that it would truly change our lives, that it would change the way we live, the daily choices that we make, the way that we interact, that especially the youth interact together, and I really believe it will. Just the heart, the passion that I felt coming out of that, I really feel that it is, it's not just a good statement, but it is, it's a goal, it's a pressing into that for the future. Also, just wanted to share just a thank you to the youth for making our whole family a part of the youth group. Many of you are very special to our children. It's been an incredible blessing to us to see you all interact with our children, to bless them as we're together. I was sharing with a few people the other night, and I said, there's a lot of things, a lot of people, a lot of things we're going to miss here as we move, but I think what tears at my heart the most is pulling away from you young people, you youth. And like I said, it's with excitement that I see you going on with into your future, going on with Sammy and Sari as your new youth pastor and shepherd. I fully trust you into God's hands, into their guidance. But we're going to miss you. We're going to miss walking with you. Thank you. Thank you again for making it a pleasure to walk with you all, and for your hunger for the truth. Just like to go over just a few things as far as, I guess more a little more practical things there and just clarify. I mentioned there Sammy's being the new youth pastor. And, you know, I don't put a lot into the, you know, it's not like we're lifting up a great title here or anything, but when we talked about it, you know, do we call it youth leader? Do we call it youth pastor? And as we've talked through over the years already, just feel like the youth pastor really shares the term, I guess, really shares the heart of what we have for them to fulfill. Someone shepherding, walking alongside, guiding, you know, holding your hands through whatever you're going through, praying with you, guiding you, giving direction, teaching. And just that shepherd heart, which I really feel that God has placed that call on their lives. It's not just someone to lead the activities and make sure things stay in order and things like that, but someone that God has laid a burden on their hearts to walk with the youth. And again, not taking away from you parents whatsoever. I've stressed ever since we're here, I think, that my number one heart is for your youth to honor you, to respect you, to walk in your heart and your vision for them. It is our heart, and I know it's Sammy's heart, to encourage that in your youth, to walk with you all as parents, not to pull them away in any way, not to turn them away, not to draw them out of that, but to walk with you parents and with the body, with the church in oneness. And also with that, just reiterating again that our heart is that it's, and it's amazing how that came out in the whole youth vision thing, that the heart is for the youth to be one with the body. Just want to encourage you as youth and the parents to honor and respect Sammy and Sari. I know you will, as you have Bettina and I. And thank you for that. And just encourage you to continue that for them. Also, just a little bit of a, you know, just so everyone is aware. Obviously, Sammy and Sari are taking that responsibility kind of as the youth pastor, the oversight there. Abram will continue to walk with them in some of the leadership things, doing some of the teaching, just directing some of the youth events there and things. And then Jonathan takes care of the schedule, the just kind of the regular schedules and everything. If you want to have youth supper, talk with Jonathan. He'll put you on that schedule for that. And then the one other thing, just to clarify, as far as youth events, extra activities, it would be our desire that, you know, we have the monthly planned events. If there's something extra you want to plan, it's not like we're opposed to that. It would be appreciate it if you would maybe contact Sammy and just see, is this, you know, does this fit the vision? Does this fit what we're about? And to just run that past them. Not for control, but just to keep the vision in place that God has given for that. At this time, I'm going to ask Sammy and Sari to come up. I'd like to just read a scripture here for you all as a blessing over you for this, and then I'll let you share. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to the end. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, and that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I just want to bless you all with that as you step into this role, and I'll give you opportunity to share what you have, and then we'll pray for you.
Good morning. So I plan on sharing a few things, sharing a bit about our calling and also the vision that was written out, and we are excited about the calling that we're stepping into, the calling that God has on our lives. We're excited about it. Sometimes it looks difficult. It looks hard sometimes. But in the end, we're excited to see what God is going to do through that in our lives and in the lives of other people. I shared a little bit about this last night, but we keep talking about it, about leading out in different areas and being youth leaders, and sometimes it just looks big. It looks hard. And I was sharing last night about how when we come before God and we pray and we just bring all these things before God, it doesn't look hard anymore, because we're giving it over to Him and we're allowing Him to do the work through us, and it's not just some like effort that we're trying to put in. So our desire is to be sensitive to God's calling on our lives, to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit, ways that the Holy Spirit wants to use us. And I was blessed recently, somebody shared with me about, it's not that we're trying to step in and do exactly as Samuel did it, because I can't do that. And I was blessed, somebody shared with me that we just need to hear from God. We need to pray about it, ask God, and allow Him to give direction. I'm really blessed by that, because that's our heart's desire, is to just follow through with whatever God is asking us to do, and just lead out according to His word. Our desire for the youth group is that we could be a part of the church, that we could be unified with the body of believers, with other believers, with the elders, with the families, that we wouldn't just be something out there that, you know, just doing our own thing, but that we could be a part of the body and function. Each individual member could function as God is calling them to. And I'm blessed by what I already see in the youth and the way that you all are a blessing to the church. There's something special about the youth group at Crosskeys that I'm not sure how to word it, but you all have something that very few youth groups have. And I would encourage you to stick to your convictions, continue to pursue God in a greater way and to walk that out in your lives. It seems so often, and us coming from the Amish is probably a little different, but it seems like the youth were always out there doing their own thing, and it was never a blessing to the parents or the church for that matter. Like, they just did whatever they wanted to, and it was more about just going out there having fun and getting together and hanging out with your friends. But I'm amazed by what I see, and I would just encourage you all to keep that up. Continue to be a blessing to your parents, to the people around you, to the other youth. And I also want to bless each one of you for what you brought into the vision. I was amazed as well by what was written out. So we had each written a personal vision, then we came together and put it into three different visions in groups of three, and then ended up writing it into one. And it's amazing what came out of that. I'm going to be sharing a couple verses. As I was reading through that, a couple verses that came to me that tie into that. I'm going to go through them pretty fast. You don't need to turn there, but you can if you want. The first one's in Mark 12, verse 28. Mark 12:28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Second scripture is in Luke 9, verses 23 to 25. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" Philippians 2, verse 2. "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I was just blessed by those verses and how the vision that everybody wrote out, the heart that everybody had, and there were so many different things that were the same that came together. And the one that really blessed me was humility, to walk in humility and to have a disciplined life and a life of prayer. Those were a few things that I was really blessed with that was just, it seemed like everybody shared that. I also want to share, we are open to admonition or encouragement or whatever. If you all ever see anything in our lives, or if you see we're taking a direction that you're not comfortable with, we're asking that you would talk to us about that. And yeah, just to guide us and to be there for us, we would invite that. We're not perfect, and we're not always going to do things perfectly, but I think if we can function together with the parents and the youth, I believe God can do great things through us. All right, so with that, I'm just going to read off the new youth vision. What do we want to contribute to the kingdom? Prioritize daily devotion to God. Be Christ-like in thought, action, and attitude. Support and honor those we are walking with. Obedience to the Great Commission. Why are we doing it? Because Christ is worthy of our devotion. Out of a love for God and what He has done for us, we want to be obedient to the holy calling He has called us to. We desire to glorify Him. How should we do it? Die to self daily. Be accountable to each other. Be disciplined in prayer. Intercede for the church. Share Christ with others. And the values and character qualities, the question was, what character qualities would we like to see in others and ourselves? Humility, compassion, generosity, separation from the world, excitement for the Word of God, walking in unity, readiness to give and receive correction, obedience to the Word of God, and serving with joy and contentment. And the mission statement is, we as a youth group desire to impact eternity by being Christ-like, to show by our daily choices a true desire for the advancement of the kingdom of God. We desire to use our time together to encourage one another in a passionate pursuit of Christ, to build godly convictions and to create a deeper awareness and burden for the lost. We commit to use the gifts that God has given us to be life-giving vessels within the body of Christ. We commit ourselves to a life of holiness by walking in humility, personal discipline, a respect for authority, and a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. And the key Bible verse is, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So our desire is to keep this, to encourage one another with this vision, to encourage one another as individuals to walk that out in our daily lives and in the youth. And we're asking that you as a church hold us accountable to that as well and to what's written, because it's written down, it's in paper. And we want to keep that in front of us and follow through with the direction that God is taking us.
Good morning. Good morning. Blessings to each one here this morning. Did want to mention, if you all want to greet Sammy and Sarah after the service, if you have a word of encouragement or a blessing, I would encourage you to do that, because we look forward to what God has in store for them and for the youth. So may we walk in that, in the fullness, and just bless them in what God has for them. I do have a couple things this morning as far as part of the vision. So this morning, I want to look at some of the like the meeting times. I want to look at some of the methods of how we do our offerings and tithing. And then also like the fellowship meals and a couple of those things. I know we had mentioned this a couple years ago, but there's a number of families here that are new. And I want to just read through this as an encouragement to each one. I had to think of John in 1 Corinthians 14. I know this chapter is talking about the use of gifts that were not profitable for the church. But the last verse says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." So there is an order for the church of God. And so may we do that. A couple of things I want to just look at is our meeting times. So church service starts at what? 9:30. So I would just want to encourage each one of us to be here by 9:30, because that half hour of prayer and meditation before God is valuable. And I would just want to encourage each one of us to be here by 9:30. Because not just that, our website states it, that we start at 9:30. So if there's visitors that come, sometimes visitors are here at 9:20 and there's no one here. So I want to just encourage us to be here by 9:30. Then dismissal, we usually look at 12 o'clock or sometime thereafter. So we want to be open to what God has for us. If there's some things that need to be continued to, we don't want to shut down what God has for us. Then the Saturday evening men's prayer meeting, we start at 7 p.m. There again, I would like to encourage all the men to be there. I believe prayer is the heartbeat of the church. So as much as possible, we would encourage you to be there at the prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. Then we have men's meeting the first Monday evening of the month. And then the ladies would be meeting the Wednesday evening after the men's meeting. So it's not always the first Wednesday evening, but it depends on when the first Monday of the month land on. Then Wednesday night Bible study starts at 7. Then also want to look at a couple of the miscellaneous items. The method of our tithes and offering, we have a cabinet in the back. One of the reasons for that is not to be distracted by passing the offering basket around, but also to trust God that He will supply the finances that the church needs to operate and also to support the missions and everything else that we are involved in. Our heart is that we can continue that. I know sometimes when we have a special offering, we have a separate basket setting out. And then again, we are trusting God to supply what is needed for those situations. And it's not that we're saying that this is the only way, but it is the way that we have chosen or felt that God is leading us as a congregation, and we want to be obedient in that. And it's amazing how the financial needs of the church has been met year after year after year. So we also want to bless each one of you for your faithfulness in tithing, in giving to the offering, because it is a blessing. It is a tremendous blessing because God does work through His people. So may we be faithful in what God calls us to. And a couple other things, we do have some older people in the church here. So because of that, I want to just emphasize, especially to the children, but maybe also to us adults, that unless there's a fire or something like that, there's really no need to run in the hallways or in the sanctuary, because it does create a hazard for some of the older people that if you run around a corner and they happen to be there, it could be devastating. So for us parents, let's keep that in front of our children. And also for the children, let's keep that in mind, that to walk in the sanctuary and hallways. Then also, after the service in the afternoon, if we can continue to keep the sanctuary quiet for ministry and fellowship as a time of building each other up. So maybe have that time. Let us help the cleaners out by putting the songbooks back in order where they belong. No children playing in the parking lot without adult supervision. I don't know if that's much of an issue, but at one point there was a couple close calls when people were playing in the parking lot and someone backed up to leave. So we don't want that to happen. Also, reminder, if you use the lunch room for your personal needs, please clean up after yourself, as Community Care Center uses the lunch room on a daily basis when they're open. Again, there's no... I basically just say these things. It's not that we necessarily have anything in mind, but just to keep it in front of us that we can, again, we can be decently and in order. Fellowship meal the first Sunday of the month. We ask the children 10 and under to go with their parents and or with another adult. And we also ask the visitors and the older people to go through the line first. Let's honor the older people in church. And also the visitors. And if you're in the midst of a conversation with a visitor, just take them with you through the line. And we want to be a blessing for those that visit here. Also, we do share the building with Community Care Center, as all of you know. So if you're on the schedule for cleaning, they have their hours of operation. Just to be respectful to them, let's try to clean our building during the times that they're not here, just because they have a lot of special needs children, and let's just respect them in that. And also be mindful of the church's resources and not to be wasteful with what God has entrusted to us. Again, I just want to bless each one of you. We appreciate gathering together with each one, and we appreciate what each one contributes to the church, and we notice when one of you are not here. There's a part of us that's not here. So God bless you. May you continue to serve God in the body, and there's also others on the mission field. We encourage that. We encourage them to be a witness. And also for us, let's be a witness in the workplace, be a witness in the grocery stores or whosoever that we meet. Because one day, this time will end. And there's many that needs to hear the gospel So may we be encouraged with that. So at this time, I'm going to turn the time over to Jesse. And again, may God's blessing be upon each one of us.
Amen. Thank you, John Omar, for sharing those things. It's kind of amazing. Life goes on, and we need reminded. I needed reminded of a couple of those things. And what a blessing to be able to have that type of order and work together in I guess just the way they did in the temple. They had things to do. They had things to prepare. They had things to take care of. And so that's one of the reasons we're sharing with you this morning, just to communicate those things. I want to start off first, before I go into sharing a little bit about the vision, some verses on that, and then also we're going to be looking at the statement of faith, reading through that, which you should have got a copy of that. It'll also be on the overhead, and then also reading through the goals for 2022. But I just wanted to, first of all, thank the elders here, John Omar and Priscilla, Samuel and Bettina. Just thank you for allowing my wife and I to walk with you. It's been such a blessing. I can't express my thanks to you enough. It's good for my life. I greatly appreciate it. We appreciate it. And I want to bless you in the ministry, the calling that God has laid on your lives. And I want to support you in whatever ways that I and we can. Also want to say thank you to my wife. Just a strong support also. My family, thank you for your support. It's a blessing to serve here. And thirdly, I want to just thank the church. Thank you so much for allowing us to walk with you as a family. I don't take it for granted that I can be a part of this body. And Ayula said to my wife, I don't know where I would be if it wouldn't be for the church. You know, I know we would be somewhere, but I'm very thankful to be here. Thank you to all of you. God bless you in your commitments here and all the things that you contribute and give here. There are many areas I could share this morning on the vision of the church. Many aspects that I feel like I could go into. I'm basically going to just go into the ones that I felt like I needed to share today and where we are currently walking, and maybe just a little bit of background history here. We moved in here. We were a Bible study before we moved into here. We were a small group of four couples. The ones that would be here today, it would be Willie's, Mel's, and us. And then there was another couple that was with us. There was some more that were added, but mainly I'm talking about Cross Keys. So those are the ones that are here today. That was back in 2009. In October, we moved in here. We rented a hall down the hallway, just a one room, one of the little classrooms. In fact, the one that we used for our lunchroom was our lunchroom back then. And then we had a room across the hallway. That was in 2009. We paid $600 for the rental of that room, and we could almost not scratch enough together for that. But somehow God provided through adding more people. We outgrew that room, and we moved into this room in 2011. I can't say which month that was. I don't know. In the fall? May. Dorcas, you were a part of us down there, weren't you? Was there anyone else here? That was who? Seth. Seth and Dorcas were. Yeah, that's right. Wow. So in 2011, we renovated this room, built the stage. We tore out this whole area here that you're sitting in That was a raised area, concreted it. So just a little background history that's kind of fun to think about. But here we are in 2022 already, and we've just come up through the path, and we see the makeup of a local expression of the body of Christ sitting here today, and I'm really grateful to be a part of it. So I want to start with the question here is, why are we here? And as I read through here, I just want to remind us that we're talking about a body. We're talking to a body today, to a church, a corporate body here. So turn with me to Matthew 25. Familiar verse, but it has to do with the vision. It's also up on the wall with the bowl and the towel. That was part of the vision when we first talked about the vision here at the church, is what are we here for? Who are we? What is our goal and aim? What are we trying to accomplish? There's a couple verses in 25, but I'm going to read verse 40 first. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then, I'm sorry, we're going back one chapter to 24 or 34 and 35. Something's not right here. I'm sorry, it is 25. Back a couple verses, 34 and 35. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. 36 yet. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Those were part of the verses that we built the foundation on here at the beginning. Is when you look at that, you can also look at it from a physical standpoint. There's many things to be accomplished there. There's many things that we have to offer and that we can give to that. And then there's also the spiritual side of hunger, the spiritual side of meat, the spiritual side of thirsty, the spiritual side of drink, the spiritual side of a stranger, and involving ourselves in his life or her life. There's a spiritual side of nakedness that we can contribute to. There's a spiritual side of clothing someone, or someone that's sick or afflicted, which we'll look at later as well. And then, one thing I want to just encourage here, I don't know if I can emphasize this enough. It is important for us to visit our older people in our community and in our church and spend time with them. I can't express that enough this morning. Young people, if you want to do mission work, if you want to do ministry, visit the older people in your church or your community and go pray for them, go share with them. It is an honorable ministry. It is an honorable mission in the eyes of the Lord. You don't have to turn here. I just want to share these couple verses. In 1 John, we have a verse that I want to just bring out, and it's in the area of love, which we're spinning off of that, hunger, thirst. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he loveth not the brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And that ties in with the scriptures there that Sammy read earlier. I had those on my notes where it talks about in Mark, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's number one. The second commandment Jesus gave is loving your neighbor as yourself. Do we see the picture? Do we see the picture of love and of giving and walking in that, taking that cross and walking in that Matthew 16, 13 to 19 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say that I am? Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simeon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, he said, and who he is here, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're talking about following Jesus. We're talking about walking in his commandments. We're talking about what the church is. We're answering the question, why are we here? He said to Peter, he said, upon you, upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. And he did that. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then he says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So upon this rock, he's going to build his church. And he did that. And church, this morning, we are a part of that rock. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, interceding and praying for each one of us this morning. And upon this rock, the church, he's building his church upon that rock. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I found that very interesting as I read that. We are a local expression of the body of Christ. I want to talk a little bit about the Lord's house. What is it for? A couple things is praise, worship. It's for prayer, for preaching, and also for personal prep, personal preparation, living out our lives for the glory of God. And I love this picture. When we do that right, when we live out our lives for the glory of God, in praise, worship, consecration, we sang about that this morning. It's lived out 6 days of the week. And when we come together in a place like this, we fulfill the giving part, no problem. We just come and we just automatically can give. Seth was talking about that this morning, encouraging us to come and give. We come and give because of the 6 other days that we're worshiping the Lord and living for him. And then when we come together as a corporate body, there will be praise and worship. There will be a prayer coming up out of that. There will be a cry coming out of that. Come and give a blessing. What's the purpose for the church and the gathering? Come and give a blessing. Come and pray. Come and worship. Come and praise. We do have 3 things here, 3 functions that we mainly focus on. That would be our prayer meeting, our Bible study, and our Sunday time of worship and preaching. Turn with me to Romans 12, and we can look a little bit about how our lifestyle, what our vision is here for our lifestyle, and how we consecrate our life to the Lord. I'm just going to go through the chapter here, but let's look at it carefully. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Be not high-minded, be not high things. I'm sorry. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. That's the vision for the lifestyle here at Cross Keys. If we can fulfill this, we can walk very closely with God. Another thing I'd like to mention here is strong family relationships was one thing that we encouraged at the beginning and still do. Strong relationships between husband and wife will make a strong church and will ultimately make strong communities. And last night here at prayer meeting, I just got a burden to pray for this again. I guess mainly because I'm involved in some, we have some close friends that are being challenged in their marriage, very challenged. And I thought, with a strong family relationship, strong family togetherness, will build a strong community, which will ultimately be a testimony of God. It's beautiful. So strong relationships, especially in family. I want to look at one thing with hospitality in James. You don't have to turn there. But one thing we've always said we would like to see and be is in 127, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's part of hospitality. That's pure religion before God and undefiled. So this is a mission. This is a mission and an opportunity all around you in your own communities and in your own spheres of operating. Think the mind of God, then do it in this aspect. Go visit the fatherless, the widows, the orphans, those who are afflicted, those who need to come to Christ. Go visit them in your community or in your families. And really, you don't need a ministry. You have it already. It's Jesus Christ going with you. Walk in obedience and brokenness so that Christ can be seen in you, in us, as light or as a light, and he can flow to others. Okay, I'm going to switch over to the statement of faith for now, and I did not get a copy. Can I have a copy of the statement of faith and the goals? Thank you, Jordan. This is the goals. That's the statement of faith. Okay, if you want to pull that up, Austin, we'll just look through the statement of faith. If you, like I said, if you don't have one, we'll put it on the overhead here. And there we have the verse again. This expresses very much and ties in very much with the vision here at Cross Keys. Okay, I read the verse already. It says, we of Church at Cross Keys have our goal to experience simple obedience to the New Testament commands and hold the Scripture as a complete word of God. We commit ourselves to work together as a body, encouraging the spiritual gifts in each other so that the love of our Lord Jesus is shown to each other and to the community. Okay, the statements of practice, of belief and practice. The Bible is God-breathed, inerrant, inspired word of God, and the final authority in matters of faith and practice. I'm not going to go through each of the verses. I would encourage you to take this home, look them up for yourselves, and be convicted of it with us. One God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created the world in 6 literal days. Jesus is the only begotten Son of Man, or Son of God. Born of a virgin, he was fully God and fully man, the sinless Lamb of God. He is the Savior of the world through the shedding of his blood, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. Only through him can there be salvation from sin and entrance into heaven. Lifestyle. As children of God, we are to imitate Christ in all areas of life. A disciple willingly bears a cross and denies himself, forsaking all things that hinder his fellowship with God. Media has a powerful impact on our lives, and what we read, watch, and listen to needs to be measured by God's standard. Great care needs to be exercised in the use of technology and social media. Modesty is first of all a matter of the heart. Our clothing is not to reveal the body, but rather to conceal it and to be gender specific. Jewelry and excessive adornment should be avoided. Our lives need to reflect our desire to be conformed to Christ and not to follow the value system of the world. Marriage. The Bible teaches that marriage is a lifelong covenant between one man and one woman. Headship and the prayer and prayer veiling. A woman is to cover her head while praying or prophesying as a testimony of submission to God's headship order. Separation of church and state. Non-resistance in all aspects of life should be practiced. In our words, in matters of law, in occupations, and in taking up arms. Our actions should align with the teachings of the New Testament to genuinely love one another. We need to respect and obey our government as long as it does not violate Scripture. Accountability. Church accountability with openness and honesty is important and vital to the health of the church. In the case of faults and disputes, we are required to work on restoring the individuals involved. That's the statement of faith, of belief and practice here at Cross Keys. Now let's look, this ties in with it. We go to the goals. Take these home, look at them daily, but we keep revising them, not quite every year, but I just felt like this was another year that we need to draw close to God in this way. So number one, to always keep the direct witness of the Holy Spirit clear in my heart. Make this personal. Number two, living Live believing every moment that Christ loves me and gave himself for me. Live in constant enjoyment of being set apart for Christ. Seek to always be filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. Read God's word consistently and carefully, and let it be my constant rule and guide. Take the life of Christ as my example in everything. Number 7, give myself to much prayer and watchfulness. Give myself to the body of Christ he has placed me in, and to all the church gatherings and meetings that will help me grow in grace. Never be fault-finding or critical or judgmental toward anyone in any occasion whatsoever. Number 10, recognize all the good I possibly can in every person. Never argue or quarrel about anything, especially scriptural or spiritual things. And number 12, keep a sense of the divine presence in me and with me at all times. Let it be so, Lord. Again, why are we here? What is the purpose? I hope by now we get a grasp of what it means to come to church, what it means to gather together. And you know, we're not able to talk about everything, but this is the heart, this is a desire, this is the heart of God that he wants for Cross Keys, and we want to be obedient to that. One of the things I thought about is at home we have this verse on the wall for our family, our personal family vision, and we could apply that here as well. To know God and serve others and love others. To know God, to serve others and love others. So may we just be encouraged this morning with the vision God gave for us here. And again, it's not the elder's vision, it's something that was established when he birthed the church here. Some of it was developing and had developed over our first part here, but it is where we would like to walk and where we desire to walk. So let's join together and walk together in this.